Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin, and on today's ID the Future podcast, we're going to discuss the Darwin versus Design conferences that are taking place in Knoxville, Tennessee, and at Southern Methodist University in Texas. Today we have with us Kelly Unger, who, well, actually, Kelly works in the office next to me here at Discovery Institute, and I don't know what her position is. Kelly, what is your position here at Discovery Institute?
I'm the director of the Discovery Society, a grassroots and small donor organization that helps support the work of the Center for Science and Culture.
Great. You probably don't know my position either, so I won't feel too bad about that, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Great. Okay. So I know one thing, though, about you, is that you've been working very hard on these conferences in Knoxville, Tennessee, and in Texas, and I'd like to talk to you a little bit about those conferences today. So, first of all, what are these conferences called, and what are they about?
The conferences are called Darwin versus Design, and it is a forum where our leading scientists and philosophers in the area of intelligent design come together to discuss the scientific evidence that life and the universe were intelligently created.
Okay, and my understanding is that there was just a conference this last week in Knoxville, Tennessee. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a great conference in Knoxville, Tennessee on March 24th, Saturday. It was an all-day conference there with several of our fellows, Mike Behe, Jay Richards, and Steve Meyer was there.
And how many people attended the conference? Was it very well attended?
Yes, it was fairly well attended. We had about 700 to 750 people in attendance from the Knoxville and as far away from Atlanta and Ohio. A lot of people came to the conference.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Now, without offending my friends from Tennessee, my question is, why Knoxville, Tennessee? What drew Discovery Institute to help put on a conference in Knoxville, Tennessee?
What drew us to Knoxville is an extremely committed group of volunteers who formed a committee over 18 months ago, I believe, and have worked tirelessly to both raise funding to bring us and to generate interest in the conference in the Knoxville area.
And you were there directly at the conference helping to make this happen, right?
Yes, I was there.
Okay. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the tone of the conference? Was it well received? Was there hostility? Tell me what happened. What were some of the interesting highlights?
Mm-hmm. I think what was most interesting about the conference is the breadth of the attendees. We had everyone from elementary and middle school students all the way through retired people. There were people who had PhDs, MDs, they're engineers, extremely influential businessmen in the Knoxville area. And so we had a broad scope of people there. In addition, they were excited to have us there. Many of the people approached us and said, "We're so glad you came to talk about this topic." We had a few hostile people there outside, people protesting and passing out information.
Really, they were protesting. What was their protest saying?
Well, to be honest, I was stuck inside running the conference, but it was basically people saying that we were promoting something that was not scientific, that we were idiots, our usual complaint that we are IDIOTS.
Are you saying that they had signs that said idiots on them or something along those lines?
I wasn't outside, but I know that that's what they were calling us.
Okay.
But I was not outside, so
wow.
I don't know what.
Okay, well, they're entitled to their view, obviously, and obviously it's a free country, and we definitely support their right to express their view and hope that they would, you know, similarly support our right to express ours. I guess maybe just a little bit about the hostility. In terms of scientists, were there any scientists who came and expressed, you know, maybe it was friendly disagreement, maybe it was active hostility, or maybe it was, you know, something in between? How was the reception from some of the local scientists?
We did have a few people, just a handful of people, that were not happy that we were there. And during the conference, they did approach me and ask why we were not allowing an open mic. They were mad that they didn't have their say during the conference and indicated that we were not presenting a balanced view and that we were not willing to engage in a debate. And I assured them that we were willing to engage in a debate, but that oftentimes it did not end up being a debate, that it was just name-calling. And for the most part, they were calm, but they were not extremely happy about our being there.
Okay. All right. That's interesting that they would complain about something like that, because I read in a news article that there was an evolutionary ecologist named Michael Gilchrist who actually petitioned to have the conference taken off of the calendar at Oak Ridge National Laboratories to try to basically, you know, obviously my understanding is that it was trying to prevent people from learning about this event and hearing this viewpoint. So this is quite interesting. And obviously, they actually were wrong, because my understanding of the conference is that they did take questions and that they wanted it to happen in a civil manner. And because of sort of the incivility that is so common from the other side in this debate, the way that they handled those questions was that they had the people in the audience write down the questions, and then they asked them of the speakers. Is that right, my understanding?
Yeah, we had to limit the questions because we didn't have much time because the moderator of the conference, Lee Strobel, needed to leave. So we did ask the questions ahead, ask them to submit questions ahead of time, and we got groups of questions that were easily answered, you know, in a broad sweeping kind of way. And so we organized them and tried to answer as many questions as we could, but it was a limited time.
Now, that's very interesting. So one of the ways, in my experience in this debate, Kelly, that Darwinists will often sort of create incivility and sort of just, you know, not discuss the issues is by making charges that, oh, you guys are dishonest, or you're liars, or you're just not telling the truth, right?
Yes.
And so this was the kind of incivility that you wanted to avoid. And what I find so ironic is that you actually gave me to look at two of the questions that were submitted by these scientists who were complaining why there were, you know, that there were no, there was not an open mic. And interestingly, both of these questions that they submitted are alleging that we're dishonest.
Yes.
And I'm going to read one of these to the microphone, and I think it might be interesting to talk about this a little bit. One of these says, the presentation by Dr. Behe was intellectually dishonest. So imagine that this, you know, scientist steps up to the microphone, and that's what he has to say. I mean, that's a waste of time. You know, let's talk about the issues. Let's not call names.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually did have a question here, a statement actually. More like it. This was not a question. Actually, there's no question in this question card. But his statement says, there are, for example, many fine peer-reviewed articles that describe the Darwinian evolution of molecular cascades and the structure of flagella. Okay. And that's very interesting because in my understanding, is that I'm not aware of any scientific articles that actually explain the evolution of the flagella, except for one article that was published in Nature Reviews Microbiology last year, which actually admitted that, quote, the flagellar research community has scarcely begun to consider how these systems evolved, unquote. So here's this scientist, you know, angry that he doesn't get a chance to have the other side presented when, you know, the other side has admitted that they don't have anything really yet. They haven't really thought about how the flagellum evolved. So, you know, I would encourage Darwinists to do the research on these kind of questions. But if you're going to ask a question at a conference like this, A, keep it civil, and B, have a question. Wouldn't you agree with that, Kelly?
I'd agree. We had a lot of great questions that were questions. So.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you very much, Kelly, for being on the show today.
You're welcome, and be sure to go to www.darwinversusdesign.com to get more information on our conferences, as well as a report about the Knoxville Conference.
Thank you very much, Kelly. That was a very enlightening report from the Knoxville Conference. And next up, we have a short interview with Jay Richards, who is a speaker at the Knoxville Conference and will also be speaking at the Darwin versus Design Conference coming up at SMU in Dallas on April 13th through 14th. Welcome, Jay.
Great to be here.
Okay, Jay, well, I just have a couple questions for you here. How do you think that the Knoxville Conference went from a speaker's perspective?
It was terrific. I mean, Knoxville is filled with well-educated engineers, or several hundred of them there. Most of the speakers that were still around were left talking and discussing ideas for a couple of hours after the conference was completed. So it was just as good as a public conference could go, I think.
Wow. So how about your contribution to the conference? What was your talk about?
Well, my talk really talked about the precursors to the Darwin versus design debate. Darwinism obviously deals with biology. I talked about all those things that you need to get right in order to have biology in the first place. So the idea of a universe that's been fine-tuned for complex life, and then all of those things you need to get right in a local environment to build a habitable planet. Those are what philosophers call necessary conditions for life. And then Steve Meyer and Mike Behe talked about the sufficient conditions you need for life, and we argue that you need the input of intelligent agency to get that.
Very interesting. So was this related to some of your privileged planet material then, or was it more just a sort of basic fine-tuning argument, or what was the...
I integrated really both the universal fine-tuning question. So this idea that the universal constants of nature, mm-hmm. like the gravitational force, those have to be fine-tuned. But even when you get a fine-tuned universe in that sense, you still need to get a lot of stuff right at the local level. And that's what we talk about in our book, The Privileged Planet. And we also, sure. of course, point out that when you get all those things you need for life on a planet, you also get the best conditions overall for doing science. So we argue that the universe isn't just designed, but it's designed for discovery itself.
Okay, so I guess my last question is, what was your favorite part of the Knoxville conference, and what are you looking forward to doing in Dallas?
Well, I really enjoy hearing Lee Strobel speak. He led off the conference and just does a wonderful job of integrating all the different aspects of the design argument and the evidence that's brought to bear on that, but then also bringing it home for people that maybe don't spend every day thinking about these scientific and philosophical questions. So I'm looking forward to hearing Lee Strobel talk again, frankly.
So you're telling me that everybody doesn't spend every day thinking about these kind of questions?
Some people have to do regular jobs, actually, where they don't get to spend their time on these things.
Well, I'm glad I guess I'm glad I don't have a regular job. Well, thank you very much for your time, Jay. It's great always speaking with you, and keep up the great work. And I hope that things go well at the Darwin vs. Design Conference coming up at Southern Methodist University in Dallas on April 13th through 14th. The website is darwinvsdesign.com. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Casey.
This is Casey Luskin with the ID the Future podcast signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.